Time for a Saturday edition of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast, a post-NBA draft breakdown, recording today in the Carl Chevrolet Studios. There's no better place to buy, sell, or trade your car than Carl Chevrolet in Ankeny or Carl Chevrolet of Stewart, especially if you are driving a Chevy certifiable model of the Silverado, Cruze, Malibu, Traverse, or Equinox. To be a certifiable model, they must be a 2013 or newer with less than 75,000 miles. They also have a new program exclusively at Carl Chevrolet and Carl Chevrolet of Stewart, where if they don't have the pre-owned vehicle you're looking for on their lot, they will go and get it for you. They have great buyers on hand whose job is to get what their customers need. This is just another way that they are your dealer for life. And the process is just the same if they did have it on their lot. They will do an interview with you to understand what you want, give you pricing, and then they will go and get it for you. In their goal is to have it secured within 10 days. Let them do all the hard work on finding what you want and having it backed by Carl Chevrolet. That is why it should be your only stop when you are looking to get a new or pre-owned vehicle. You can check them out online at carlchevrolet.com or carlchevroletstewart.com. Carl Chevrolet in Ankeny at Exit 90 at The Rock and Carl Chevrolet of Stewart. There's no better place to do a trade. And when you go to Carl Chevrolet, they won't even make you give up three big-time prospects and all of the picks for the entire future of your organization. So they're not going to fleece you in the same way that the New Orleans Pelicans might. I also want to remind you guys that we are doing a limited edition 4th of July t-shirt right now on CycloneFanatic.com. Beer, fireworks, America. They're $18. You can find those on the Cyclone Fanatic store, teamcloset.com/CycloneFanatic. So check those out. You want to get those orders in by June 25th in order to get those for the 4th of July. Last but not least, if you like what we do here at Cyclone Fanatic, if you like Austin Hurst's NBA knowledge, then we ask that you please consider becoming a patron on our Patreon. You can find the way to do that on the homepage of Cyclone Fanatic right there on the right side of the page. There's an orange button that says become a patron. It's easy and it's secure, and it doesn't matter how much you might want to give per month. We appreciate any of it. What's up, Austin Hurst?
How we doing, man?
I'm good. How are you, dude?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Best time of year, NBA draft.
Yeah, it was a crazy night. It's been a crazy week of NBA stuff. It's just fast and furious.
Yeah, it's the league that never stops, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to talk a little bit about the Iowa State guys. First, we know where all four of the five guys who decided to go pro, we know where they will be playing in the summer league. I guess we don't know about Cam Lard. Haven't heard anything, at least at this point of when we're recording this. But let's start with Talen Horton-Tucker. Goes 44th overall to the Los Angeles Lakers in the second round of last night's draft. I wasn't surprised to see Talen drop that far, but at the same time, it sucked. I felt bad for him.
Yeah, I did too. Kind of some people in the industry, there was rumblings that they thought he might slide a little bit, just not slotted as high on people's boards as it was originally came out to be.
Yeah.
And obviously the whole Walmart incident didn't help either. But yeah, no, definitely a bummer. So hopefully that just adds an extra chip on his shoulder and, you know, motivates him even harder. But, you know, once again, there's only 60 guys that get their name called.
Yeah.
So that in itself is a great accomplishment. And obviously all of us wish the best for Talen and hope he makes the most of his opportunity with the Lakers.
See, and that's where I saw some people, or I had at least one guy coming at me and Chris, you know, acting like we wanted Talen to go in the first round only to help the program. And that just that's not true. I think Talen's a cool kid. And I want to see him have a lot of success. And it sucked when you knew, you know, when he made the decision to go and go into the draft, at that time he was a consensus top 25 pick, basically. And it just seems like over the last several weeks, he started to slide farther and farther down. And that's when I started to get surprised, where it got even to pick 35. And I was like, man, he's got to be going in the next like couple picks here. And he just kept going further and further down. And that's the only thing that I think was surprising to me, was that his slide really, it seemed a lot more drastic in the moment than what even really what I anticipated before the draft had started.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you're kind of getting to the point where you're getting in the 40s and late 40s, and you're just wondering if he's even going to get his name called at that point. So obviously it was great to hear his name called. But yeah, no, the slide just, as you're watching it in real time, it just kind of seems like it's escalating, and I'm sure it felt 10 times worse for him.
Right.
But also with his situation, you know, he's represented by Rich Paul, who obviously represents LeBron and Anthony Davis. So I think that Rich Paul might be running the Lakers himself, but that's a whole different conversation. But, you know, Rich Paul's not taking on just anybody.
Right.
He obviously saw something in Talen, and that kind of just gave you a little bit of confidence that he was for sure going to hear his name called.
Well, and all joke aside, like there is some – they did see him, you know, like Rob Pelinka said that – Talen said that he talked to Rob Pelinka at the Clutch Sports Pro Day, and that was the only time that he ever interviewed with him. But we also have to keep in mind too that at the time of like the combine, a lot of workouts and stuff like that, the Lakers thought they were going to be drafting with the fourth pick,
right?
And they didn't have any second round picks or anything like that. So for them to, they really weren't even focused on somebody like that. You know, they were looking at the guys at the top, very top of the draft. So they had to make some moves, and I think when they probably saw that he was sitting there, it's like, all right, well, we know this kid, you know, we know that we'll be comfortable with the people that he's represented by, you know, might as well take a flyer on him.
Yeah.
It's a good value pick at 46.
Absolutely, and that's one thing that I hope for Talen is I hope he gets time to develop in the G League.
Yeah.
And that's one of my concerns about being drafted to the Lakers is, you know, with the team that they're looking to build, if they add another max contract player, he's a guy that could be on the NBA bench next year just because of how cheap his contract will be towards the salary cap. And really, he needs time to develop in the G League and just get game action.
I can't imagine he'd play that much.
Right. And that's kind of what I'm getting at is, you know, I'd rather see him be in the G League and be able to develop and work on his game rather than sitting as the 11th or 12th man on the Lakers bench getting no run.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they would I'm pretty sure I feel like they'll put him on a two-way. I think that that's probably the most likely scenario. Where's the Lakers G League team even at?
It's in LA.
Is it? Okay. Yep. Yeah. I kind of figured that's probably where it was, but I mean, they'll be able to get guys on the minimum to sit on the end of the bench.
Right.
You know,
to play with LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Well, and that's the other thing. Even if he has to sit on the bench, man, he's got a front row seat to watch Anthony Davis and LeBron every night.
Right.
There's definitely a lot worse jobs in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just hope it's not one of those situations where Rich Paul's lobbying for Talen to be on the bench. I just hope that he's able to develop in the G League because I think, you know, with some development, and that's a whole other conversation. I know you were referring to that Twitter argument that you were – you had a guy coming at you last night.
Yeah. And,
you know, it's all about perspective and opinion. And then, you know, you got to respect Talen's decision that he wanted to go pro. And in my personal opinion, there's, you know, nothing wrong with wanting to go pro and develop your game while getting paid.
Yeah.
And you're focused fully on developing your game. I have no issues with that. And I wish him the best. So I just hope that for his sake, he's able to develop his game in the G League, you know, get reps, game reps, obviously practice reps as well. And then be able to contribute to an NBA team later down the road.
See, and that's where I was coming from on a lot of that stuff. Obviously, I'm 100% behind Talen going pro. Like, I will never sit here and say, if you think that you're ready and you're hearing that you're going to get picked, don't go. Like, that's just – I will never say anything like that. I'm 100% behind these guys going and doing what they want to do. But the thing that is – scary about it, which he ended up in a good situation, so it kind of like this kind of mitigates that, is that when you fall into that second round, especially the further and further you fall in there, you have absolutely nothing guaranteed to you, you know, and that's where, you know, you get into a situation where it's like, man, I got picked or I signed with the team, but there's no promises here that I'm going to end up with anything. And the one thing that you did have guaranteed was that you could go back to Iowa State, and that's like, that's where I sit there and I'm like, man, that's when you start to wonder, like, did he make the right choice?
Right.
You know, and I think that he did because he ended up in a good situation. But it's different than, you know, people were comparing him to Deonte Burton and Monte and George and Naz. The difference for all those guys is that they had they had no other option. It's not like they could have gone back, you know. They, and even you think about what Deontay had to do. He had to go to Korea to be able to even get back onto the NBA radar.
Right.
And Naz has sat on the end of the bench and been in the G League for 2 years now, where he's just trying to work his way into getting into a full NBA contract. And George has got his way there, and he gets to play some minutes for the Jazz, but it's not like he's done anything remarkable after 3 years as a pro. So that's what I'm saying is, like, you have absolutely nothing guaranteed, and it takes a lot of hard work, and you're really betting on yourself in a situation when you're gonna leave school and then you end up as a second round pick.
Right. I agree with that. I'll just play a little devil's advocate with you and also with the people that were 100% on board that he should return and not turn pro at all. I think you can even just look at Lindell and kind of what happened to him. You know, obviously nothing was guaranteed after his freshman year.
Do we think he would have been picked last year? Would he have been a second round pick?
It would have been very close.
Yeah, he would have been. I mean, he would have been right on the edge, I think.
Right, right. I mean, he would have been, you know, similar to where Tatum was at to 55. I mean, you know, in the second round, you can slot a lot of those picks being international guys that are drafting stash players. But it's just hard. It's very hard to look at and just say that, oh, yeah, he should for sure come back to school. Because in my personal opinion, and I know this isn't always the popular opinion, but I'm 100% with you. I think if a kid has an opportunity to do something that he loves and makes money for it and he wants to do that, I'm 100% on board that he should go make money you know, playing the game that he loves if he has the opportunity to do it. Obviously, an extra year of Iowa State could have helped him.
But it could have hurt him too.
It also could have hurt him. Yeah. And I just think that you never know how it's going to play out. Some guys, you know, they come back for another year. I mean, you just look at a guy like Cameron Johnson from North Carolina. I mean, he played in college for 5 years. He was at Pitt for 3 years. Grad transferred to North Carolina and actually had 2 years at North Carolina. So he was a five-year college player and went number 11 overall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas you've got a guy like Talen who played 1 year in college and went 46.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a clear path. And like we've said just off the air, it's not always the NBA going after young guys.
Right.
But I think just circling back to what we started talking about, I don't know for sure if Lindell would have been picked last year, but there's no doubt that coming back for a year ended up hurting his draft stock. Because
he would have had a better chance to get picked last year than he did this year.
Absolutely.
Man, it's crazy to even look at the list of guys that could have come back that didn't get picked. I mean, Jonte Porter, Lewis King, Kenny Wooten from Oregon.
I mean, look at a guy we saw firsthand, Dedrick Lawson.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's the guys that did not come back. If you'd made that one college basketball team, they might win the national championship.
Yeah.
Like, that team would be really good. And it's just, I mean, I can't blame Dedrick Lawson for going pro, to be completely honest, except I feel like for a guy like him, he's already so deep into it. I mean, he was already a junior.
Right.
You know, like, what's it going to be? What's going to be the difference?
And
in
he was
one
already
year?
A fourth-year junior.
Yeah. So, yeah, he'd already been in college for 4 years. It's like, man, you might as well just do it, like, one more year, and it's not going to be any different for you being 22 and 23 or whatever.
But on the counterpoint, it's kind of the
unless he gets hurt or something.
Right. And, you know, and that's obviously what happened to Lindell. He ended up getting hurt. But it's also the counterpoint of, he's probably sitting there thinking, what else can I do in college to prove myself?
Yeah.
You know,
he's
potentially he could have had a better year the next year, but it would have been very hard to surpass what he did this year.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the team they have coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got some good pieces, but it's just, that'd be kind of he wasn't probably going to be any better, put up any better numbers.
Right.
But I mean, I think when you look at why Talen would have fallen, I was thinking about this last night. When you look at the guys that were getting picked, the ones that were getting picked ahead of him. Take even Cam Johnson, for example. Man, even Mario Shayok, where you look at him. I think that they value consistency a lot more than what we think sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where they see a guy who has done it for a long time, or even a guy like Mario who went to a different school, comes out, and he did it night in and night out, was doing the same thing. You knew what you were going to get from Mario Shayok every time he stepped on the floor. And if you're not a, you know, if you're not a Darius Garland, someone like that is just like a high, high, high level talent, then they're not, and they look at you and they're like, man, yeah, he's got some tools. He's got the length. He's got some playmaking ability, but he doesn't defend. He is inconsistent as a shooter. His shot is one that is probably going to take some work to be able to fix. And that's like, okay, now we know we're taking a risk. This isn't a guy that we look at and it's like, okay, we feel like we know what we're getting from this kid. You know, like you take a guy like Cam Johnson, who's 23 at 11, and that some people might look at that as a reach, but for the Timberwolves, they look at it and they're like, all right, we know what we're going to get in Cam Johnson. We know that we're going to get a guy who can shoot the basketball, who's going to play hard and is going to work hard. And it's like, at that point, you're like, all right, we got a pretty good team already. We don't need to go out and get some and reach on some guy that, that we'd need to wait for 4 years to turn into who we want him to be. We need somebody that can come in and play right now and make an impact for us.
Yeah, that's how it's very interesting too, just how the second round plays out and teams' philosophies you can kind of see in the second round, because you'll have teams like Golden State and other luxury tax teams that are looking for guys. Like, for example, Golden State took Eric Paschal. I mean, they're looking at him to come in and contribute next year right away on a cheap deal. Whereas a guy like Talen, and even just a guy like Bol Bol,
I felt bad for him too.
I did as well.
Especially since he was in the green room.
Yeah, I did as well. Those guys are obviously more of a project. They're not as much of a sure thing. So you've got to find a team that's willing to be patient. And that's kind of what I was insinuating at earlier with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. I hope that they're patient with Talen and give him a chance to develop. But yeah, it's just, it's very difficult, and I agree with what you said about looking for consistency and valuing consistency, because if there is a big knock on Talen is he's very inconsistent this past year. And but then you also look at the counterpoint of, okay, well, this kid is very young for this draft class.
Yeah.
I think he
turns 19 in November, yeah.
Yeah, I believe he's the second youngest player in this draft.
No, he was the youngest.
Yeah. He was the youngest, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's...
by quite a ways, I think.
Yeah, he's very, very young for this draft, so...
He's younger than a bunch of guys even in the next class.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is crazy.
I mean, he played his first however many games with Iowa State this past year when he was 17 years old.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's just what it comes down to with him, is that you look at what he did... And like I said, you see a lot of positives, but you can also sit there and see negatives. And it's like you can talk yourself out of it. And teams don't want to draft somebody in the first round that they can sit there and talk themselves out of why they did this,
right.
Why this is the wrong move.
And I think there was teams that were kind of all over the board on him in terms of what do we think he can become.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, he's...
There's no mold for him.
No, he's kind of a positionless player. I mean, he's about 6'4 and a half, 240 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to try to play him as a small ball four? But, you know,
who's he going to guard then?
That's what I heard a comparison the other day. I will not say what podcast I was listening to, but they were comparing Talen Horton Tucker as a possible Draymond Green.
Yeah.
And that's just the laziest comparison that I've ever heard, because Draymond is one of the most elite defenders in all of the NBA, and that's where he's found his niche. And I mean, that's just not Talen. That's not who he is.
Well, and he just plays his ass off every minute of the game.
Yeah.
Every minute that he's on the floor, he plays his ass off.
Yeah.
Can we say that we've ever seen that from Talen?
I mean, I'm not
saying he doesn't play hard, but when he plays, like, there's times on defense where he's just standing there.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. It's just like maybe it's not that he doesn't play hard. It's like he takes some time off.
He doesn't have a noticeable high motor, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily that he does not play hard. And I think part of that as well that you were mentioning is also due to his conditioning, due to his body type that he has right now. Because obviously he's going to have to trim up some of, you know, the baby fat that he still has on him. He's still really young.
Yeah, he's 240, and I wouldn't say it's a good 240.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and he's still really young. You know, he's got time to grow into his body, and that's obviously what the Lakers are hoping for, that, you know, he'll slowly kind of, you know, fill out his body because he's still so young. But, no, I think... I don't necessarily agree that – I think when he took plays off, I would say it was more due to a lack of conditioning rather than a lack of effort.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not trying to, like, knock on
him. No, I know.
I'm just saying that I think when you watch him play defense, you don't – look at that and say, oh, this is Draymond Green.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what, and I completely understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch a guy like – the guys that come to mind to me are Draymond Green and even like a Montrezl Harrell. Like,
yeah.
You watch that guy and you're like, wow, that guy plays his ass off every single minute he's in the game.
Yeah.
Like, his motor is unbelievable.
And they're in such good shape.
Yeah, and that's what makes those guys thrive. And, you know, a guy like Montrezl Harrell and even a guy like Draymond Green, I mean, that's why they're having so much success in the NBA because – you know, those guys are just out there playing very hard at a very high level.
Well, Draymond, a guy like Draymond never sticks in the league if it's not for the way that he plays on defense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at back at those finals. Nobody guarded him. I mean, you don't have to guard him.
Yeah.
Really. And they had to keep him out there.
Yeah.
He's still one of their best players.
Yeah.
It's really because of the impact that he makes on the defensive end. Man, I think you even look at a guy like Jordan Bell, where that's almost where you can see where they're playing too hard. Or playing hard can almost become a negative sometimes because he plays himself out of things.
Yeah.
And that's another guy that where the Warriors took him in the second round. And right when they took him, you're like, dang, okay, he might actually be able to make an impact for them. You know, they're really good at that where they can look at guys and say, all right, you know, he's a 4-year college player. He's 23 years old. So he's already pretty mature physically. As long as we can teach him our system and he can pick it up and be able to be effective with it, then he can come in and help us right now.
Right.
And I guess that's the luxury when you have – I mean, you've had as good a teams as what they've had, where you really just need plug-and-play type guys.
Exactly. You're just looking for a guy that will come in and buy into his role
and be cheap.
Maximize it. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the point that I was getting at earlier with second-rounders is teams approach second-round picks different ways, whereas a team like Golden State and, you know, other teams that are – have and I like the Lakers will be this year with obviously the max deals and they're looking to add another max player, but
we'll talk about that later.
Right. And those, you know, those teams are looking for more value in the second round of like, okay, who's a guy that we can take a flyer on? We think he's going to be able to potentially come in, fill a role, and like you said, be extremely cheap.
Yeah.
And like Jordan Bell, that's a guy that they took a flyer on. And
it didn't work out the second year, but it sure did the first year.
Right.
He was awesome last year in the finals.
Yeah. And then you've got other teams that, you know, they're looking at guys, international guys, to draft and stash them and just have their rights. And some of them come over right away, and some of them will never come over.
Yeah.
And you've also got teams that are taking guys who are projects that they're like, you know what, we can sit, be patient, let this guy develop, see if he can become something. And if we don't see him coming in, it's not guaranteed. So we can always just cut him loose.
See, and that's the thing. When you look at a guy like Bol Bol, or you look at a guy like Talen, there's so little risk, especially with those two guys, I think, in the second round. There's very little risk, but there's the potential for very high reward, where you could see Talen become a guy who is a starter in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
I think. A guy who can play big minutes for you, and it can be a guy who can come in and score and make plays for you passing the ball as well. And with Bol Bol, man, for the Heat, if he comes in and is healthy, they're able to put some weight on him. Dude, that guy could be an all-star.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the skill set to be a really, really good player. I think people forget that just because he didn't get to play at Oregon.
And I think just a reason for him as well is that he fell, and this is pure speculation, I don't know anything. I'm guessing his medicals were very, very bad.
Which doesn't surprise me because he's like 7'2 and weighs like 180 pounds.
Yeah, MyNBADraft.com, he is listed at 7'3", 235. There's 0% that guy, 0% chance that guy is 235 pounds. I had read articles that he suffered a foot injury, and I believe he played 9 games this year for mm-hmm. Oregon. And he got up to 208 pounds before the season, and
then he lost it all.
He was down to about 180 pounds after the foot injury. So I think that's part of the concern that teams have too is, you know, he's a 7'3" center, and will he be able to keep on that weight? Because, you know, he lost that weight very quickly after he got hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's turn to Mario. I think this is another thing where you can look at where a team is at just in their, you know, their building process, where the Sixers are obviously a team that's already good, came one shot away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I don't know that they will sign Mario to a full deal, but, man, would it surprise you at all if they did?
No. I mean, he's another guy that, just like we talked about, looking for a guy to fill a role.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that you –
They got nobody who can shoot.
Yeah, I mean, he's
outside of, and J.J. Redick might not come back. So
I think Mario's gonna have a damn good chance to make that team.
I do too.
I do too. I think that's a good fit for him, and just kind of like we discussed before. I mean, they're looking for a guy to fill a role that can come in and potentially contribute next year, because their window, they see it as right now, and he's another guy that's cheap, so it keeps, you know, those potential. I mean, keeps it open where they could still sign Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
So I think he's a guy that has a very good chance to stick, especially if Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris comes back.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that he's going to end up having a really good NBA career. But they just need people to come in and shoot, and we know he can do that, you know, and he's going to play hard.
He's going to play hard, and I think he's the perfect guy that can come off the bench because he's got the ability to score. He can create his own shot, and he's got good size.
Yeah, good length.
Yeah, and like you said, shooting. I mean, in the NBA with his size, I mean, he's about 6'6", and if you can shoot the ball, I mean, you're going to have a chance, especially, I mean, he's athletic.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very, very good fit for him, and I know you're pumped about that.
Oh, yeah, I'm pumped about that, and it almost counteracts, you know, I joked when they drafted Matisse Thybulle in the first round, where Matisse Thybulle is a guy who's like a transcendent level prospect as far as a defender, but he doesn't do anything on offense.
Yeah.
All of his points basically came off of getting steals and going coast to coast.
And getting dunks.
Yeah, and getting dunks. And so that's where I'm like, man, I see what the Sixers are trying to do here. They're just going to be so elite defensively that nobody scores a single basket. So then they only have to make two or make one basket the entire game to win. It's like it's foolproof. No one's ever done it in the history of the NBA. But I think that I think I can see what they're trying to do here. And then they go and get Mario, and it's like, okay, no, now we're going to get buckets.
And I think maybe they're ahead of the curve there. Maybe they think the game's coming back away from offense. It's just going to go back towards grinded out defense. No, I think that's a really good fit for Mario, and obviously. Really awesome moment for him getting his name called.
Did you see that video?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I just think, too, that it has to be really rewarding, not only for him, but Steve Prohm, the staff as well. You know, he plays 3 years at Virginia.
He bet on himself.
Yeah, he absolutely bet on himself. Played 3 years at Virginia. All in all, was having a solid career.
Right.
And just, you know, was looking for a bigger role on a different team. And, there's not many guys that on their own transfer before their senior year when they have to sit out.
Yeah.
Normally there's some sort of red flag or dismissal that happened at the previous school, but he just transferred on his own. And obviously, you know, it worked out great for him. And not only for him, you know, it worked out great for Iowa State. I mean, that fit was almost a match made in heaven. And
right.
Just really, really cool to see him be at Iowa State for 2 years. And, I mean, he exceeded everybody's expectations.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So, just a really cool moment for him and, you know, just really, really awesome to see him get his name called.
It takes some guts, though, to leave a program like the one that he was at where you see them. I mean, they win the ACC last year. Number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, that didn't end up very well. Mm-hmm. But then they win the national championship this year. He wouldn't have been part of this team if he would have stayed. But you look at that inside, man, it takes some guts to be like, nah, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
And leave that, you know?
Yeah.
And, it worked out for everybody at the end of the day. Obviously, Virginia wins a national championship, and he goes to Iowa State, first team all-conference, and most outstanding player of the Big 12 tournament, and now then he gets drafted. He wouldn't have got drafted if he would have stayed at Virginia.
Yeah, 100%. And I know that – he was on NBA radars when he was at for Virginia, but I think there was a lot of questions about his offensive game and would he really be able to contribute. I mean, he only averaged 9 points a game, but at Virginia, I mean,
at Virginia, that's like averaging 18.
Yeah, that's pretty comparable to averaging easily 15-plus anywhere else just with the amount of possessions they have per game. But, no, he took a leap of faith, and like you said, he bet on himself and came to Ames and – obviously, the one thing I think that doesn't get talked about enough is I watched quite a bit of film on him when he was at Virginia, and that dude worked his ass off in his sit-out year to improve his game.
Right.
And
his shot was not near as good as what it was at Iowa State.
I mean, he had always had a great mid-range shot, but once he got out to the three-point line, it would, you know, the percentages would dip, and his consistency wasn't that great, but I mean, that guy was a bucket his 1 year in Ames, and it was fun to watch and just really, really cool for him. If anybody hasn't seen that video on Twitter, I wish I could remember who tweeted that, but
yeah,
that's just an awesome video. If you can find that on Twitter, and if somebody
of his, him and his family hearing his name called.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, that's what it's all about. And you kind of lose sight of that. Just, this is a life changing night for,
see the one for Jordan
guys.
Bone.
Yeah.
That one was awesome too, where his brother's on the microphone, basically thanking everybody for coming. And then his name pops up right behind him.
They thought he wasn't getting picked.
Yeah.
And, he gets picked at 57. And
yeah.
I mean, that's just, that's what it's all about. You know, these kids have just worked so hard their whole lives and, you know, their dreams are coming true. And obviously there's a lot of work still left for guys like Mariel and Talon, but it's obviously a step in the right direction. And not only for those two guys, I mean, Lindell and Nick have both already signed.
Lindell signed with Toronto.
Yep.
Nick signs with Miami.
Yep.
It sounds like Nick could be on an Exhibit 10. I don't think that's official, but that's kind of what's being speculated, where that he'll play with the summer league team and they could potentially, that could potentially turn into a two-way contract, which that would be good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Nick will be another guy that has a really good chance to stick.
I think so too. And obviously,
if there'd been two ways when his brother had been at that stage, he probably would have stuck too.
Oh, no doubt. And the two-way contract is just a great way to start trying to keep guys in the G League and keep them from going to Europe, because in the past, you know, you just have to make such a financial sacrifice. A lot of those guys were just better off going to Europe, and that's what they prefer. And then if obviously, you know, the NBA ever poked its head, they would make the decision to come back or continue their career in Europe. But I think,
I mean, you think about him, Melvin, Tyrus McGee, like they all stuck around for a while, or not maybe stuck around, but were playing on summer league teams and stuff like that, where they'd keep coming back trying to get another opportunity, and it just would never really stick.
Yeah.
Where if they could have signed a two-way and been, when you go over to Europe, you're just so, you're almost out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. You know, at that point it's like, all right, I'm giving up on this to an extent, unless you go over there and you're just getting buckets to the point that people are hearing about you again.
Right. And I think truly the two-way contract is very interesting, because a lot of times it's young guys that it's spent on. I personally think that DeAndre Kane would have been a great two-way guy if he would have gotten an opportunity, because with the two-way contract, you can spend up to 45 days in the NBA, which means you're essentially can play 45 games in the NBA. That's the deal that Monte was on last, not this past season, but the season before in his rookie year. And then that's what Naz was on this past year as well. I think for a guy like him, it would have been a great chance for an
George
NBA
was
team.
On. Yep. And Deontay.
Yep. I think it would have been a great opportunity for an NBA team to have the rights to DeAndre. And I know one of the biggest drawbacks on him was his age.
Yeah.
But they could have brought him in on two-way and said, you know, pretty much said, okay, you know, let's see what you can do. And if he would have been, he would have had an opportunity to show if he could play in the NBA right away, whereas a lot of teams were scared off by his age. And he's went on to a great career in Europe. Mm-hmm. You know, he's had a great career over there. So I think
he's got to be like 30 already, doesn't he? Or at least close.
Yeah, he'd be right around that, wouldn't he?
I mean, he was like 25 when he was a senior.
Yeah, he graduated in 2014.
Yeah. So 5 years.
Yeah. So, yeah, it would be.
He's probably right around there.
Would be right around 30. Gosh, that's hard to believe. But, no, the two-way contract, I think, is great. And hopefully, you know, these guys that are Lindell and Nick and hopefully Cam, too, will be able to get you know, work their way up and maybe even onto a two-way contract this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet Lindell will be on one. I'm sure he will. I don't know if it'll be with Toronto, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I think
I just don't know. I mean, you can only have two of those guys. We should mention that. So, there's only 60 of those spots. Who knows what, you know, like I said, there's a lot of guys out there right now because of all those underclassmen that didn't get drafted.
Exactly, and there's – I think Lindell will end up on a two-way, personally. I think the NBA game is – I think the spacing on the court will help him a lot. And if Lindell, obviously, you know, he's planning on playing with Toronto in the summer league, it looks like that's who he signed with. I think he's going to be – as long as he gets, you know, a good amount of playing time, I think he's going to be a fun guy to watch in the summer league, because that league's kind of just built for how he plays. It's more of a – it's almost like a – coordinated pickup game.
Yeah.
If you really watch it, I mean, guys get 10 fouls.
Right.
I think he'll thrive.
Papayannis that 1 year, the only guy I've ever seen foul out, whatever his name, Yorgos Papayannis.
Yorgos Papayannis.
Yeah, Papayannis for the Kings.
Yeah.
Fouled out in three games, I think.
Yeah, that wasn't the greatest lottery pick ever, but yeah, no, the Summer League is...
The Summer League all-time leader in fouls.
Yeah, it's kind of a... It's almost just a somewhat controlled pickup game.
Right.
So I think that kind of fits the way that Lindell plays. And, you know, hopefully he's able to have enough success out there to and get enough looks that someone will bring him in on a two-way or and go from there.
Definitely. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some more NBA stuff on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Hey, guys, it's Williams. We'll get you back to your podcast here momentarily, but it's wanted to talk to you about eye care, of course, today. And my friends at Ames and Des Moines Eye Care, they meet your whole family's vision needs. And they did that to me about a year ago, where I got in and had my first eye exam since my childhood. Dr. Kruger was like, what are you doing, man? You got to come in and get your eyes checked more often. And I'm glad that I did. They found some stuff. They got me these designer glasses that I wear when I work now, when I'm creating content for you at PsychOneFanatic.com. It has decreased my headaches incredibly. It's been fantastic. I didn't even know half the stuff that Dr. Kruger was telling me about. And I'm assuming if you're a middle-aged guy like me, you're probably in the same boat. Get in there to Ames and Des Moines Eye Care. Personalized eye care, designer eyewear. They've got same day, same week appointments, and they are really good people. And they help support us here at PsychOneFanatic.com, the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. It's Ames and Des Moines Eye Care.
Welcome back to the Carl Chevrolet Studios. Talking some more broad NBA stuff now. All right, where do you want to start? You want to talk about some more about the draft? You want to do some free agency, some trade type stuff?
You make the call. You're running the show.
Let's talk about the draft. I talked about Cam Johnson before. Was there anybody else that really stuck out to you as being a guy that landed in a, you know, that was a really good fit for somebody outside of Zion Williamson or Ja Morant?
I honestly think that I believe Jackson Hayes is going to – he's going to New Orleans, right?
Correct, yeah.
I think that's a good fit. I think that's going to be a fun fit.
That's going to be perfect, dude.
Because that front court is probably going to be the most athletic front court in the NBA.
Yeah.
And that's going to be fun. I mean, I personally think Jackson Hayes is a guy that Lonzo's going to love playing with. Just watching that guy in college – just a great screener, great roller, great hands. You know, the more he develops a mid-range jump shot. But right now, I'd almost say he's Clint Capella-like.
Yeah. Just
with his athleticism. And
I think he even said that he tries to model his game after him. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's – I really, really like that fit. I think that was a great pick.
Yeah, I mean, the Pelicans are going to be worth the price of League Pass.
I was just going to say, I was going to put it right now on the board, the 2019-2020 League Pass Team of the Year, New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah. Well, just with between that, Lonzo and Ingram, assuming that he's healthy, Zion and Jackson Hayes, there's going to be some ridiculous lobs thrown in these games. I mean, Jackson Hayes gets his hand, at the top of the backboard sometimes when he's trying to go up and catch a lob.
Oh, yeah.
And then we know what Zion can do, obviously.
Yeah, that kid's a freak. And I think that also just when Lonzo Ball played with the Lakers, he was very good.
Mm-hmm.
Just he obviously has had injury problems, and don't let his dad fool you or anything. You know, just don't let LeVar Ball cast a shadow over Lonzo.
I think he's distancing himself from LeVar almost.
Yeah,
right
with
now.
That whole big baller brand thing that happened.
Yeah.
That's a whole path that we're not even going to go down.
It's all the kids are trying to get away from him.
Yeah. But
LaMelo going to New Zealand.
Goodness, I can't blame him. I mean, that for a while there, LeVar was writing checks that they couldn't cash.
So, yeah.
No, but I think Lonzo's going to love playing with Jackson Hayes. And going back to kind of what we said earlier, I mean, goodness gracious, dude. Zion is a guy that his motor just sticks out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, That's the thing that always impressed me the most about him is it wasn't even his freakish athleticism or, you know, just his body structure and any of that. It was just you would turn that game on when he'd play every single night, and he was the hardest playing player on the floor.
Yeah.
Every single night.
Well, that's where I think that you can almost make a comparison to him. He's like Draymond Green, but better. He's like a better version of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where the way he plays, that it reminds me of – that's who I think of. I watch him and I'm like, man, this guy is – plays as hard as Draymond, but he's like way more skilled than Draymond is.
Yeah.
To where he can shoot better. He can, I mean, but he's not by no means like a ridiculous shooter, but he's way more skilled offensively, putting the ball on the floor and that kind of thing.
And I think he's got good mechanics too, that he can develop a good jump shot. The more he works at it, obviously.
I think he's about as close to a sure bet as we've had as a number one pick in quite a while. Just where it's like, this guy's going to come in, and I don't see – he's going to come in and be good. Not like all NBA good right away, but like good. Like be a really solid player.
I mean, is he the most sure thing first overall since Anthony Davis?
I think so, yeah.
That's the one that comes to mind to me would be – he's the most sure thing probably since Anthony Davis.
Those are the only two guys that I can remember that every time you would watch them in college, they would do something that would make you just say, man, wow,
yeah.
This guy.
Yeah.
You know, like this guy is something different, cut from a different cloth.
Oh, yeah. I think – and just the thing with Zion is I think obviously a lot of it was just his body type. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's about 6 – he's honestly about 6'6".
Yeah.
You know, 285. And the guy has a vertical leap of close to 45. I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that, like I said, him and Anthony Davis were so head and shoulders above people just in what they were physically capable of, to where you're like, damn, like how could anybody stop these guys?
Yeah.
You know? And people are still trying to figure out how to stop Anthony Davis.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think Zion – he's going to go in there right away, and they shouldn't even try and make a run to go to the playoffs. They're going to have a bunch of cap space, but I think they just need to keep accruing assets, keep getting young guys, keep that young core together. They're going to end up being pretty good like in 2-3 years.
Yeah, and I think David Griffin's a really good general manager.
I think that's being proven right now.
Yeah, I think he essentially created a bidding war between the Lakers and the Lakers.
Yeah.
But no, I honestly think that trade was truly a win-win for both teams. You know, the Lakers got their guy and they really needed to, but they gave up a lot.
But they also were really stupid about the way they went about it. You know, like the fact that they don't even know how the cap space works is so, this borderline irresponsible as a NBA executive to have to try and call back and be like, oh, wait, we didn't know that we wouldn't have enough cap space if we didn't wait to do this trade until late July.
Yeah, that's not the best look.
No, that's real bad. Like, and that's where I'm like, maybe Rob Pelinka doesn't have to know these kinds of things, but there's got to be somebody there that has read the CBA inside and out, like some random dude that went to Harvard or something and just knows how these things work and sits around and crunches numbers. And that's what is so inexcusable to me.
In my limited time being around NBA franchises, specifically most obviously with the Bulls, I interned with them. Every NBA team that I spoke with had a salary cap guru, quote unquote, that knew how the salary cap worked, knew exactly where they were at. And it's just, I mean, like you said, it's almost embarrassing.
It is absolutely embarrassing. Well, and it's that, and then not knowing how to work with the trade kicker.
Yeah.
I mean, any of that kind of stuff. It's like the fact, at that point, I would say, you know what, you can get through all that stuff. And then it's like, okay, he's got this trade kicker. That's where you're like, all right, we'll throw a couple more of these picks in, but y'all got to pick up the trade kicker.
Right.
You know, that's what is so weird to me is that they didn't even know. I don't think that he was so focused on getting Anthony Davis that he didn't ask any questions.
Yeah.
It's just like, what do you want? And David Griffin kept saying, well, I want this. Rob Ling's like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want this. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like he could have asked for anything. He's like, I want your house. Okay.
He could have asked for anything except Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, except for Kyle Kuzma or LeBron. I guess those are the only two things that were off limits.
Yeah. No. Yeah, circling it back, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the Lakers got their guy. They got the star, but they paid a large, large haul for him. And obviously,
and they're still turning that haul into things.
Yeah.
You know, they take the number 4 pick and turn it into 8, 17, and 52 or whatever it was.
Yeah. No, I think David Griffin and New Orleans did a great job. I mean, they would be – if I had to give them a grade so far and entering free agency, I mean, it's It's got to be an A.
A plus, probably.
A plus.
Where you get Zion, you get Jackson Hayes, you get Lonzo, Brandon Ingram. You basically get the entire core of a good team.
Yeah, and you get Josh Hart, who I think is a serviceable role player in the NBA.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, I mean, they've absolutely knocked it out of the park. Speaking of the Bulls, what do you think of Coby White?
I'm excited. I obviously am a Bulls fan as well, but they needed a point guard. I like, obviously, his size and ability to shoot the ball. He showed that he was pretty solid in the pick and roll, which is something that excites me, obviously, with a guy like Lauri Markkanen who can step out and shoot it. And I think the biggest thing that I like about him is his – I mean, he's really – he has that position flexibility where he could play either guard spot.
Yeah.
And I think that really helps because, I mean, obviously, you're hoping he's a guy that will end up being a starting point guard in the NBA. And with the currently how the Bulls roster is constructed, he can play with Zach LaVine and he could also play with Chris Dunn, which I think is a big bonus. So, obviously, he hasn't played a game yet, but without – I mean, I'd say it's – other than being at 7, and that was obviously disappointing because Chicago had the 4th best odds to win the lottery and they got knocked back to 7. But all in all, I mean, I think that's about the best it could have went for him.
Right. I also want to note Bol Bol actually got traded to the Nuggets.
Yes.
I forgot to – I kept saying the Heat.
Yeah.
These stupid trades, dude. We were talking about this before. This is so – it's so stupid that the way that they give him the wrong hat and everything when they send him up on stage.
Yeah, and I just think it's ridiculous that even – ESPN, I mean, yeah, they give him the wrong hat, which is bad enough, but ESPN doesn't even update on their little ticker thing.
Yeah.
You know, who cares if they're putting on a Heat hat? If you know that Bol Bol is being, you know, traded to Denver, just change the tab on the ESPN banner to Denver.
Right.
So, I mean, there was a couple picks that got traded twice, and it's like, how the hell are you supposed to remember who's going where? I mean, I can't even remember now when I'm looking back at this because all the draft results that I can find are just the teams that took that pick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just what's so – I mean, it's so goofy. And I understand that they have to wait for the new league year or whatever to start. But
right.
it's just stupid.
I mean, it's just silly, honestly.
It's asinine. It's completely pointless.
Yeah.
There's no reason for it to be that way. All right, I think – you got anything else from the draft that you want to say?
The only other thing that I'd...
Sleeper? You got a sleeper of the entire thing?
Yeah, we'll go with that. I think Nasir Little at 25 to Portland is an extremely high-value pick because he was a guy that truly had top 10 talent, but he was inconsistent, and from what I had heard and read, he was not that great in his workouts, but he's a guy that just has a lot of potential, and it's still to be seen if he will reach that potential. But I mean, he's 6'6", you know, about 210 pounds. He's got perfect size to play small forward in the NBA. Obviously, late first round, he's going to be on a cheaper deal for Portland. I think he's a guy that could end up being a very solid NBA player.
Yeah.
And at 25, if you can get that, that's obviously a win.
It's crazy to look at some of this stuff because a guy like him, if he didn't go to college, he's a top 10 pick guaranteed out of high school. But then you think about a guy like Coby White, who Coby White probably wouldn't have even been anywhere near getting drafted
out of high school. Oh, out of high school, people didn't know that – people weren't sure if Coby White was a one and done.
Yeah.
And he ends up going number 7 overall.
Right.
And
then Nasir Little falls to where he goes in, you know, 25th
and
rather than being a borderline – some people thought he could be the number 1 overall pick.
Right. And if – it's just crazy – going forward, because eventually it's going to happen that they're going to change the rule back
2021
where players can come out of high school. It's just crazy. I don't think people understand how much it's actually going to impact the NBA because a lot of people don't remember because you get caught up in this media craze phenomenon. If you look around the league a year ago, right now, there's not a single person who thought Zion was going number 1.
Right.
It was consensus RJ Barrett's the number 1 guy. You know, he's the best player in the class. And when Duke goes on that trip to Canada,
people start talking about Zion,
hey, this kid is wow.
Yeah.
And all you saw of Zion was his videos
on House of Highlights.
On House of Highlights in high school, where he's throwing down 360 windmill dunks
against dudes
who look like they're 5'5".
Yeah, I was gonna say a team of 5'5" guys from like the hills in South Carolina go to these little private schools or something like that, and you're like, is he playing like eighth graders right now?
Yeah. So
that, dude, those guys probably really were like 6'2".
Oh yeah.
And Zion just made them look so small.
When, yeah, like, that's just the thing is. College basketball, I mean, Duke, obviously, college basketball. I mean, Zion Williamson isn't where he is right now without it.
Yeah.
So I just think, and whether it's, you know, what your opinion on it is one way or another, it's going to change the landscape of the draft because.
Even Jarrett Culver, like, think about him.
Yeah.
If it's not for college basketball, he's never going number five.
Yeah.
You know?
And, I mean, a guy like.
DeAndre Hunter. He's the same way.
Right. Ja Morant.
Yeah.
Another guy. I mean. And a guy like Darius Garland, who a lot of guys thought he was the best guard in the draft, and, you know, he doesn't play this year, has the injury, you know, a little bit of
injury. He'll fit well in Cleveland.
I think he's going to be a very good player. I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up being the best guard in this draft class.
Yeah.
By the time his NBA career is over. I think a lot of people obviously didn't get the opportunity to see him play. I mean,
I think people forgot how good he was just because he only played in five games.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. I mean, this is easy to say, and there's no way to prove it, but there's no way that Vanderbilt goes 0-18 in the SEC if
no.
he's playing. I mean,
yeah, Bryce Drew probably still has a job.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at Cam Johnson. Like, there's so many of these guys that's like, if he never plays college basketball, he's never, you know, never becomes what he is,
right,
where he's getting picked like this.
Grant Williams, another guy.
Yeah. You know. Rui Hachimura. I mean, he came from Japan. I think he's like the first lottery pick ever from Japan. Chuma Okiki, he's the same way.
Yeah.
Like, so many of these guys. Matisse Thybulle, he played all 4 years at Washington. Grant Williams, like you mentioned. Ty Jerome was a high-level recruit, but even then, he was never a guy that's like, oh, he could go to the NBA straight out of high school. So I think that even once that rule changes, I imagine that there will only really be like four or five guys in each class that will even be in a position to where they could potentially get drafted.
Yeah, I completely agree. And just,
you got to think back too, like, to when they first were doing that, why they changed the rule. People were not prepared. Those kids were not prepared.
Right.
You know, I mean, there were so many guys that were, think about like Sebastian Telfair and people like that. Now the infrastructure of basketball is so much better that they will be much more well-rounded to go and become a professional basketball player than I think they were back then.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that.
Yeah. All right, prediction for – give me one hot take for free agency.
One hot take for free agency. Oh, boy. All right, you go first. I got to think about it a little bit.
All right. Kawhi goes back to Toronto. It's not really a hot take. Kawhi goes back to Toronto.
In my opinion, any Kawhi take is a hot take because I don't think there's a single guy that know other than Uncle Dennis.
I think Uncle Dennis and Kawhi are the only people who have any idea what know. Dude, Kawhi's living his best life. I'm all in on the Kawhi train right now. I love that guy.
Hey.
He's just I think that he is just a fantastic human being.
Board man gets paid.
Yeah. Fun guy. Like, I love the way that he has embraced how bland he is.
Did you see that that fake story that came out about him eating apples?
Yeah.
I read that, and I was so bummed when I figured out that was fake because I read that, and I'm like, I would not be shocked if that was a real story
right.
with Kawhi Leonard. I mean, the guy's just.
Well, I love the video, like the videos that Serge Ibaka's been doing. He's like, I'm with fun guy. And he's like, what it do, baby? When I saw that, I was like, man, I feel like Kawhi is way more fun than what he lets anybody ever see. You know?
Yeah.
And then when he asked him what he was excited to do in the offseason, and he's like, eat desserts and drink alcohol. And I was like, that's exactly what – that sounds like what – it's like someone told Kawhi this is what it takes to be fun. So when they asked him what he's excited to do in the offseason, he's like, drink alcohol and eat desserts.
I think it's hilarious too, you know, that everybody says that he has no personality, he's pretty much a robot. And did you see that video after they won the finals when he's celebrating?
Yeah.
And
he like drops his hands down.
He's got his hands up and he's like, you know, pumped up, and then he just a split second just back to normal
right.
blank stare on his face, no emotion.
Well, it was almost like he did that and then he saw Steph Curry and he was like, "Oh, I don't want to rub it in Steph's face. Steph's my friend. I want to give him a hug."
Well, the guy goes up to Andre Iguodala and tells him, you know, he apologizes about Clay, you know, hurting his knee. Like, obviously there was literally no intention to hurt him at all.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, any Kawhi take that you throw out there is a hot take, because other than Uncle Dennis and Kawhi, I don't think there's any single person that knows what's going on in that guy's head.
Kawhi is almost like a guy that you could almost see where he's just like, you know, I don't even think I want to play basketball anymore. I just want to, like, relax.
My buddy sent me a tweet on Twitter the other day, just DM'd it to me, and it's so funny. The tweet was literally, Kawhi is the guy that his family has no idea that he plays in the NBA.
Yeah.
He just leaves, says he's going to work, leaves for 8 hours, you know, leaves for a couple days on a road trip, comes home. Yeah. Family has no idea that he plays in the NBA.
They think he works the overnight shift at the tire factory or something.
Yeah.
But I think he'll stay in Toronto, man, just because there's never been – like, there's no precedent for a team winning the title and then their best player leaving.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever happened before.
Not – I mean, it probably has, but not that I can really think of.
Yeah, at least not in the current
form. It's very rare.
Form.
It's very rare. I guess I don't even know if it's really bold anymore. My bold take will be, I think Kyrie will be a Brooklyn Net next year.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty solid.
I think we touched on it last night a little bit too during the draft. It's going to be very interesting what happens with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Just obviously.
Yeah, we were texting about that.
You know, the Achilles injury. But then, you know, now there's rumors of, you know, potential sign and trade.
Yeah.
So he can get the full 5 years.
Dude, I think the Warriors are trying to save their ass. That's why they're trying to get him that extra, because he can get an extra $57 million from the Warriors.
Yeah.
It's almost like that $57 million is them saying, like, we know we messed up.
Yeah.
So, like, here's $57 million so that you don't try and sue us or something.
Right.
For malpractice.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Durant's another guy, too. It's hard to envision him playing for the Warriors again,
right. Personally.
Yeah. So, I think you can rule that out.
Clay's going back, though.
Oh, Clay's 100% going back.
He'll
sign the 5-year max extension, and he'll be back. But I don't know. I just think if I'm Kevin Durant, I would almost say, you know, I'm going to sign a 4-year deal and go play wherever I want.
Right.
Because, I mean, obviously, you know, next year is going to be a rehab year, and that's what, you know, how the sign and trade is kind of looking. It gives him an extra year, and he gets paid, and, you know, is able to rehab the whole year. But I honestly thought for a while there he would just opt in with Golden State, you know, take his $31 or whatever million dollars and just rehab his Achilles and then hit free agency next year when he's healthy. But I think it's very interesting, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this. What do you think the market is for Boogie?
Man, I think Boogie should just go to an ass team, dude. Just like
– just get his money.
Right. Go play for like the – man, go be on the – I don't know. I can't even think of a team right now. Go be like on the Magic or something. I guess the Magic made the playoffs.
Here's my bold take for Boogie.
Go be on Memphis. Go play with Ja.
My bold take for Boogie, and it'll probably end up being 100% wrong, I think he signs a 1-year deal for the max amount of money, balls out for a year for a bad team that, you know, doesn't
– yeah.
That has cap space, that kind of similar to what the Bulls did with Jabari Parker last year. They signed him to a 1-year $20 million deal and, you know, just kind of taking a flyer. I think somebody will do the same with Boogie. I hope he balls out and gets himself a big contract, but I think he'll sign a 1-year max deal somewhere.
He'll sign a 1-year max deal somewhere and just, like I said, where they're really bad, and he can just do whatever he wants to, you know, and with like completely no repercussions.
Yeah.
And there's no like competing for a title on the line or anything like that. Like, don't worry about getting your ring. Just go get your buckets, Boogie. We want to see you get buckets. That's all we want.
I'm trying to think of a team that would be fun for him.
That's what I'm saying. I can't even think of one because there's nobody that's bad enough right now that it's like just put him on that team and let him just go do his thing because everybody sucks.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a team even too that would have the cap space to take him on.
Would Memphis? I mean, that is one that I could see where it's just like, I mean, they don't got many guys.
Yeah, I don't know what their
cap space is. They got Jaren Jackson that they're trying to.
Are they still on the hook for the Chandler Parsons deal? Is that still them?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
We had a full conversation about this the other night where we were just looking at some of the worst contracts in the NBA.
Yeah, right after the Anthony Davis trade.
Yeah. I think we're on a consensus that the Charlotte Hornets had the worst contract in the NBA.
The Nick Batum contract. No, man, that's the other thing, the Pelicans, they got out from that Solomon Hill deal that was like $12 million, and that cleared up another, you know, $12 million in cap space for them. I mean, they have done everything right with this entire trade.
Yeah.
They were just like, they have undid everything wrong that Dell Demps did in 6 months. David Griffin might be the greatest general manager of all time. I'm starting to have serious questions.
I mean,
at least compared to...
David Griffin's really good. I texted you about this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to bat for Sean Marks, dude. I think that guy's a genius.
Oh, in Brooklyn?
Yeah. I mean, he's able to resurrect that team from arguably the worst trade in NBA history.
Man, that trade really didn't even work out that well for the Celtics, if you think about it.
No.
Because what it was meant to do was get them all those assets and everything so they could land this big star, and then they kept missing on everybody.
And it's kind of crazy when you think about it. If my prediction comes true, it almost comes full circle, because Brooklyn sells the entire future of the franchise for, you know, the Boston Stars back in whatever year that was, long time ago now.
13.
And,
yeah, or 12.
Know, yeah, and nothing ever really – I mean, a couple playoff appearances, but, you know, no titles or anything. And Boston sitting on all these assets eventually turned the assets into Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving leaves after 2 years and goes to the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
It would almost be coming full circle.
And basically completely wrecked their entire culture in the process.
Yeah. And
all the momentum they had, where it was like everybody's like, damn, the Celtics are going to be the team to beat for like the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
And then Kyrie's like, nah, I'm good.
When they went to the conference finals and, you know, they had all those guys hurt, and Kyrie comes back, Gordon Hayward comes back, and they get worse, and now Al Horford's like, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Dude, watch Al Horford. Man, I was thinking about this. Al Horford to, like, man, maybe LA.
If they miss on some of the other guards that they're going after, I think Al Horford in LA would, I mean, they could definitely do worse.
I bet they'll end up with Kemba, because he'll probably take less money. I mean, if they can get to 27, where they can get Anthony Davis to take his Space Jam check and waive the trade kicker, then I would think that – I mean, I think Kemba would probably do it for 27.
Yeah, I think so too.
He's in basketball purgatory. Well, we were talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a worse situation for a star to be in than that one in Charlotte.
No, yeah. Charlotte, if they re-sign Kemba, or if they don't re-sign Kemba, either one, all they have is their mid-level exception because of how many bad contracts they're on right now.
There we go. That's where Boogie can go. He can go there on the mid-level exception.
The one team that came to my mind was Cleveland. I'm like, hey,
oh, yeah,
here you go, John Beilein. You can coach Boogie Cousins for a year. And Cleveland also does not have much cap space either.
Yeah.
With some of their contracts that they're on from
I'm surprised
the
they
LeBron
haven't tried
era.
To unload Kevin Love. Yeah, they're trying to get that J.R. Smith concert. I knew that last night they were trying to move that pick to the fifth pick to try and get rid of the J.R. Smith deal.
Yeah, and it's –
Where is, like, and who even knows where J.R. Smith is?
Oh, man, he's probably somewhere with the shirt off.
I was going to say, that dude just, like, dropped off the map. He's sitting somewhere with his shirt off, sipping on some Hennessy.
Yeah, maybe J.R. Smith will end up in L.A. Follow LeBron around.
Man, that would, I think he might have burned that bridge.
Swaggy P back to the Lakers?
I was trying to think of just, like, some random guys that, I mean, with the way the Lakers have done business, there's going to be some weird dudes who end up on this team.
And I don't know I was if just it could be more weird than last year.
Oh, no, where you got Rondo and Lance Stevenson and Michael Beasley. But I was just trying to think of, like, who were some random names that could somehow possibly end up on the Lakers? And I was just thinking, like, man, like, somehow, like, Zaza Pachulia comes back. All of a sudden, he's on the squad.
Hey, in all seriousness.
Tyson Chandler, like, he's out there.
Dude, in all seriousness, the Bucks, from everything I've heard, are trying to move Ilyasova. Why not?
Yeah.
Honestly. I mean, he's a good veteran player that
– He was good for the Sixers one year.
He could be a relative, you know, obviously you're not going to have to give up anything for him. If they're just trying to sell him. So, and they could do worse.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they definitely need to add some shooting, and they're going to have a lot of cheap contracts. So.
Right. Shooting is what – man, Svi, they need to run it back with that summer league team. Bring Svi back and get our guy. LeBron needs to fly to Spain and hop his ass on the plane, fly to Spain and get Matt Thomas, unload the Brinks truck and say, hey, we're bringing you back. It's time to go. You've been waiting here for 2 years.
Yeah.
You've been waiting here for 2 years. It's time. We need you on the Lakers. Come get buckets for us.
Wouldn't that be something?
What did he have in that championship game? Like 30 something?
Oh man, he was
ridiculous.
He was balling.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's time. Like, just go get Svi, and we're just going to space the floor. LeBron and AD go to work. And Kemba. Kemba's going to get his buckets, too.
Yeah. Oh, what a career that would be, man. Just all you got to do is just sit in the corner and spot up and shoot threes for that team. That would be pretty nice.
That would be pretty nice. I bet he'd probably get paid about the same that he does over there, too.
Yeah.
All right, man. So, call your shot. Who they get? Lakers. Which one they get? Kemba?
I think you're right. I think it's going to be Kemba.
All right. Thanks, man, for coming in.
Thank you.
Talk to you again probably sometime during free agency.
Absolutely.
When things are really hitting the fan.
Yeah. July 1st.
Exactly. Thanks to everybody for listening. Talk to you guys again in a couple days. Peace.